A tall lizard-like alien, Pendragon, stood on the bridge of a spaceship. He stared at a monitor and waited impatiently for a response to his request. An Arcanian alien, the size of a mouse, appeared on the screen. Pendragon pressed the button on the monitor.
"Well, Karthus, I hope you have news for me," he uttered.
The Arcanian looked uncomfortable.
"We've made some progress, sir."
"Is the weapon ready?"
Pendragon questioned him.
"Not yet,"
Karthus replied, his voice trembling in fear. Pendragon pounded his clawed fist against the panel.
"What do you mean, not yet?"
he bellowed.
"The device will detonate as designed," Karthus explained, "but we can't control the reaction."
"What the hell good is that to me?"
shouted Pendragon.
"I told you we never created anything like this before,"
Karthus responded defensively.
"Figure it out fast or I'll start killing your offspring one at a time,"
Pendragon threatened.
"I promise you, it will be slow and it will be painful."
The Arcanian's eyes filled with fear.
"Yes, Pendragon, I understand."
Pendragon turned off the monitor switch and stormed away. Billy and Penny exited the Greyhound bus station in Washington, D.C. Billy paced back and forth impatiently across the sidewalk as the cold wind blew briskly, sending chills down his spine. He glanced up at the gloomy gray sky and grimaced.
"I can't understand why we couldn't wait another week," complained Penny. "It's not like Washington's on the other side of the world."
"I told you, Penny, something's not right in Ferengia," fretted Billy. "I can feel it."
"Here we go again, Billy and his gut feelings. When are you going to get over this?"
Billy grew irate and reminded her.
"Those gut feelings saved your ass many a time. Maybe you should grow the hell up."
"Look, Billy, I'm really messed up right now. My mother has only been dead a week, and I'm hurting inside. I don't need this."
Billy looked away at the traffic and sighed. He turned back to her and hugged her.
"I'm sorry. I know you were close to her. But it's done. Nothing is going to bring her back."
Penny threw her arms up in the air in frustration.
"You're always so insensitive, Billy."
Several people stared at them as they passed.
"What are you talking about? I'm always sensitive to you,"
Billy responded, baffled by her behavior.
"No matter how frightened I am, or how much I need you to be there for me, you just march right on."
"What does that have to do with your mother?"
"She suffered so much for 3 months. I'll never forget it, but I guess you have. You only worry about poor Billy."
Penny's depressed attitude wore on Billy. He searched the traffic, hoping their ride would come soon.
"Don't you have anything to say?"
she nagged at him. A black limo stopped and backed toward them.
"Yeah, there's our ride."
Penny crossed her arms and grew red-faced.
"That's your answer to every argument? Just move on to the next obstacle."
Billy felt defeated by her constant bickering.
"I don't know what you want from me, Penny, but I'm tired of being your whipping boy. Everything I do is wrong in your eyes."
"Because it always has to be your way."
Billy bit his lip and became silent. The limousine slowed to a stop in front of them. The tinted window slid down, and Doc Smith's friendly face appeared from within.
"Looking for a ride, my friends? I'm so glad to see you. I thought you'd never get here,"
exclaimed Billy.
"Sorry for the delay. DC traffic is a mess at this time of day,"
answered Doc.
"Why didn't you fly down?"
Penny frowned at Billy, knowing she feared flying.
"It's a long story."
Doc chuckled as he realized that Billy and Penny hadn't changed much since they last saw each other.